A mighty fortress is our God indeed. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we're just so grateful for your word, that you preserved it for us, that you blessed the public reading of the scriptures. And God, we'd ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to hear your voice above all else. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to Genesis chapter 27, which might be titled, "And You Thought Your Family Was Dysfunctional," or "How to Destroy a Family in 10 Easy Lessons." So maybe yours isn't that bad after all. So to set the stage, let's look at the last couple of verses of Genesis chapter 26, verses 34 and 35. It says, "When Esau was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah." Grief of mind. In the ESV, it says, made life bitter for them. Another commentary called it bitterness of spirit. So there was hassle in their castle. And that's the stage. So let's look at Genesis 27. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. So if you're following along in just about anything else, you'll probably get lost, but you'll see at least how it reads. I like the way it adds a little depth and nuance. "Now, when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, he called his elder and favorite son Esau and said to him, 'My son.' And Esau answered him, 'Here I am.' Isaac said, 'See here, I am old. I do not know when I may die. So now, please take your hunting gear, your quiver of arrows, and your bow, and go out into the open country and hunt game for me. And make me a savory and delicious dish of meat, the kind I love, and bring it to me to eat, so that my soul may bless you as my firstborn son before I die.' But Rebekah overheard what Isaac said to Esau, his son. And when Esau had gone to the open country to hunt for game that he might bring back, Rebekah said to Jacob, her younger and favorite son, 'Listen carefully. I heard your father say to Esau, your brother, bring me some game and make me a savory and delicious dish of meat so that I may eat it and declare my blessing on you in the presence of the Lord before my death. So now, my son, listen carefully to me and do exactly as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two good and suitable young goats, and I will make them into a savory dish of meat for your father, the kind he loves to eat. Then you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before his death.' Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Listen, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Suppose my father touches me and feels my skin. Then I will be seen by him as a cheat, an imposter, and will bring his curse on me and not a blessing.' But his mother said to him, 'May your curse be on me, my son. Only listen and obey me, and go and bring the young goats to me.' So Jacob went and got the two young goats and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared a delicious dish of food with a delightful aroma, the kind his father loved to eat. Then Rebekah took her elder son Esau's best clothes, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave her son Jacob the delicious meat and the bread which she had prepared. So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And Isaac said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you told me to do. Now please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me.' Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found the game so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord your God caused it to come to me.' But Isaac wondered and said to Jacob, 'Please come close to me so that I may touch you, my son, and determine if you really are my son Esau or not.' So Jacob approached Isaac, and his father touched him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He could not recognize him as Jacob because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. But he said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' Jacob answered, 'I am.' Then Isaac said, "Bring the food to me, and I will eat some of my son's game so that I may bless you." He brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please, my son, come kiss me." So he came and kissed him, and Isaac smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, "The scent of my son Esau is like the aroma of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven to water your land, and of the fatness, the fertility of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord and master over your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed." Now, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely left the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Esau also made a delicious dish of meat and brought it to his father and said to him, "Let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me." Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" And he replied, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently, and he said, "Then who was the one who was just here, who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him. Yes, and he, in fact, shall remain blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with a great and extremely bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Isaac said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has fraudulently taken away your blessing for himself." Esau replied, "Is he not rightly named Jacob, the supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac replied to Esau, "Listen carefully. I have made Jacob your lord and master. I have given him all his brothers and relatives as servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." Then Esau, no longer able to restrain himself, raised his voice and wept loudly. Then Isaac his father answered and prophesied and said to him, "Your dwelling shall be away from the fertility of the earth and away from the dew of heaven above. But you shall live by your sword and serve your brother. However, it shall come to pass that when you break loose from your anger and hatred, that you will tear his yoke off your neck and you will be free of him." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are very near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When these words of her elder son Esau were repeated to Rebekah, she sent for Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Listen carefully. Your brother Esau is comforting himself concerning you by planning to kill you. So now, my son, listen and do what I say. Escape to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's anger subsides. When your brother's anger toward you subsides and he forgets what you did to him, then I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I be deprived of you both in a single day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth, these insolent wives of Esau. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Whew, whole lot in there. Well, let's see, who do we have here? Well, first of all, Isaac thought he was dying, very similar to the way Esau thought he was dying when he gave away his birthright. But Isaac, the old blind Isaac, lived another 43 years. We find out from Genesis 35, 27, 29, he lived in a house filled with strife and pain, and he favored his, his macho son, his mucho macho Esau, the hairy ape man. He knew that God had said that the elder would serve the younger and that Esau despised his birthright but wanted to bless him anyway. After some good meat, of course. After both of them were thinking with their senses, with their desires, their emotions, they were not listening to the voice of God. And then we see that Rebekah, three times, told Jacob, listen to my voice, listen to me, do what I tell you. And we don't see that Rebekah is seeking God or his counsel at any time through this whole passage. So Rebekah, she lived a bitter life due to Esau's Hittite, Canaanite wives. He favored the mama's boy, the soy boy, Jacob the deceiver. She sent him away and she never saw him again. So indeed, the curse was upon her. Esau despised his birthright. He had no spiritual interest, sold his birthright for a meal. He is called immoral and godless in Hebrews. He wept bitterly, plotted to kill his brother. Now, he'd already married two Hittite wives, and then he went and got a cousin from Ishmael's side of the family, which made it even worse. And it's interesting when it says that he was immoral and godless, that means the literal translation was outside of the temple. So he's kind of outside of the people of God. Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, he left the family and talked about how smooth he was. Well, he was smooth, all right. And he ran into Laban, found out Laban was even smoother. So, yeah, Jacob was pretty smooth. You wouldn't want to buy a used chariot from Jacob. Okay, no. Just find another car, a used chariot lot. So where is God in all this? Well, not so much. We see a lot of human plans. We see deception, people leaning on their own understanding and trying to help God fulfill his promises. Isn't God glad that we're here to help him out? He might have a little trouble otherwise, right? So. Yeah. Well, I think we call that taking the Lord's name in vain. That would be blasphemy. That would be lying, deception. But he was a conniver. He was a schemer. Yeah. Rebekah and Jacob were schemers, working out things on their own in their own understanding. Isaac and Esau were driven by physical appetites, desires, feelings, in other words, their flesh. Isaac's blindness was apparently spiritual as well as physical. And so he called him in there. And Esau says, here I am, your favorite son. And Isaac said, behold now, I'm old. I don't know the day of my death. Does anybody? And therefore, take your weapons, go out and, you know, get some good game. And you just wonder, what motivated him? He didn't know the day of his death. Was he motivated by, well, let's see, Esau is the firstborn and I'm supposed to bless him, right? So I want to obey what God said. No, that doesn't seem to be the motivation, does it? I think part of it's fear. You know, if I don't hurry up and do this now, you know, and that's one sign is the devil is always trying to rush us, right? Oh, devil's always trying to push us into making some decision so that we don't have time to think it through. He wants us to make an emotional decision. Rather than waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and just taking his word as truth. And so Isaac says, well, I don't know when I'm going to die, so we better get this done now. So go out and get me some of that filet mignon, get me some backstrap. You know, we'll have a big feast here. And so Esau's going out there. Now, they'd already been told that the younger was, you know, the elder was going to serve the younger. That was a prophecy. Well, Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau. And so what does she do? Well, that's interesting. I wonder how that'll work out. No, she went to Jacob. Oh, look what I, guess what I heard your father say. So, and then verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command. No indication Rebekah was being led of the Lord. She didn't have a word from God or even sought his counsel. Just using her own ideas to help God fulfill his promise of the elder serving the younger. Though the end justifies the means, I guess, for some, Machiavellianism, or as we used to say, by hook or by crook. We'll get it done one way or another. But not trusting God. And so if we go back to Genesis 25, we see Rebekah having a little different response. So in Genesis 25, 21 through 34, it says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea." Now Isaac's going to the Lord here too. "And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.' So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with, and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, the heel clutcher, the heel grabber, the supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom." Esau is Edom, it means red. When Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Now I'm guessing that's not the first time that that thought came to Jacob's mind. We see a lot of premeditation. Is that with malice aforethought? Is that what they call that, Pastor Greg or Officer White, I think? And so, "Sell me your birthright as of this day. Do it now." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is a birthright to me?" And here's Esau catastrophizing, just like Isaac later. "I'm gonna die." Really? Do you think he was on the verge of death? Probably not. He's probably really hungry. I don't probably wasn't ready to drop dead right that moment. And so Jacob, the opportunist, says, "Well, swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and he sold him his birthright. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And you probably heard this. I never did hear the recording of the previous teaching. So you probably heard a bit about the birthright, but what I came up with is that the firstborn would become the new patriarch when the patriarch died, in this case, when Isaac died. So this meant getting a double portion of the inheritance and getting a special blessing. Now, it may be an exact double portion, it may be approximately a double portion, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, depending. And then the patriarch could not arbitrarily assign the birthright to a younger sibling, but it could be forfeited, such as when Reuben defiled his father's bed, then he lost his status as the firstborn, immorality. Or such as with Ishmael and Isaac, the birthright went from the concubine's son, Ishmael, to the patriarch's wife, Sarah, to Isaac. It required part of the deal was they had to take care. He had to take care of his mom. He had to provide food, clothing, protection, and take care of his unmarried sisters and grandkids and all that. And remember, Esau knew that his mother Rebekah favored Jacob. So going back to Genesis 27, verse 9, right after Rebekah says, "Listen to my voice, do what I tell you to do. I'm your mother. Listen to me, Jacob. Now go to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat of it, that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." So what's he worried about? Yeah, exactly. He's worried about getting caught and the results, the things that'll happen, the consequences. Didn't seem to be too concerned that he was deliberately lying and deceiving his own father, aided by his mother, who cheerfully deceived her own husband in order to bless her favorite son. So this is a mess. It's really a sad story. And then listen to the mother in verse 13. His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son." It reminded me of Matthew 27, 25, where after Pilate washed his hands and the people wanted to crucify Jesus, and all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." And so the curse, let that curse be on me. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And so Jacob, the mild-mannered boy that he was, really, I mean, the thing is, these guys were at least in their 40s and maybe as old as their 70s. It depends on which commentary you want to go with, but they weren't kids. These were not, 13-year-old kids with pimples on their face. They were men. These were, middle age, even for that day. And so Jacob went out and he got them, brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house. Huh. Isn't that interesting? She just happened to have Esau's clothes there that Isaac would recognize. And then she put them on Jacob, her younger son. And then she took the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Scheming, plotting. And then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. And so she prepared this meal. I mean, there's multiple levels of deception going on here, one thing after another. So he went into his father and said, "My father, here I am. Who are you, my son?" And Jacob lied through his teeth and said, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done just as you told me. Please arise, eat of the game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac is a little bit cautious, a little bit suspicious. He says, "Well, how is it that you found it so quickly?" And Jacob said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." There's using the name of the Lord in vain. And again, his pants are on fire. Nose is longer than the telephone wire. That's what we used to say. Not telling the truth. Had a little trouble, had a very tenuous grasp on the truth. So Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And what is Isaac trusting here? Is he trusting spiritual discernment? Is he listening to God's voice? Is what? The outward appearance, yeah. And he is going by his senses. Oh, my touch. Oh, and then he'll ask him again. He didn't recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" It kind of reminded me of one of those software programs. It's like, "Do you want to delete this file?" "Yes." "Do you really want to delete this file?" "Yes." "Are you sure you want to delete it?" "Yes." You have to say it three or four times. Yeah, right. And so he says, another bald-faced lie. "I am. I'm Esau." Okay, and he said, "Bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you." And he brought it near him, and he ate, and he brought him wine and drank. And, there's, I'm sure, a lot of information about the way priests did things and, meals to seal deals and that sort of thing. And we thought about, Melchizedek, king of Salem, and he brought out bread and wine, and Abram tithed to him and all of that. How important was the meal? I don't know, but I think it's just another example of Isaac being led by his flesh and by his senses. So he wanted food, so he'd have his stomach full. And so then look at verse 26. Well, let's see, I think I skipped one there. Yeah, well, 25, he said, "Bring it near me, I'll eat of my son's game, that my soul may bless you." And he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near me now and kiss me, my son." And he came near him and kissed him. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And here we have a kiss. And then the last part of verse 27 says, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, again, trusting his senses, and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." So there's no spiritual discernment going on here. And Isaac did his two-bit checkout routine, and he ended up being wrong anyway. So here's a blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob in disguise as Esau. Verse 28, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. A lot of material blessings there. Good crops, that was huge. Let people serve you. So he's going to be a leader. He's going to be in a very powerful position. And nations bow down to you. Not just people, but nations. Entire nations are going to bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And isn't that the blessing that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12? Same thing. And I just reminded of later the God of the Bible being referred to as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not Abraham and Isaac and Esau, but Jacob. And so the title in the Bible that I usually read, the New King James, has a heading and it says, Esau's Lost Hope. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father rise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? Now it's interesting. He recognized that Jacob's voice was the voice of Jacob. Yet here he is hearing Esau's voice. Who are you? Now he's completely confused. And he said, well, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly. It hit him right then. I've been had. I've been tricked. Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. He shall remain blessed. This was like a prophetic thing. This is not something that would be undone. He was spoken the blessing, and that stands. And so when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. And it's interesting, now Esau's bitter. Remember, his wives had brought bitterness into the household. And he said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. Well, wasn't it supposed to be Jacob's blessing anyway, because he had gotten Esau's birthright? Because the elder would serve the younger? That's what God had said. Isaac still wanted to bless Esau, even though Jacob had essentially taken his place, Jacob the supplanter. And so he's crying, exceedingly great and bitter cry. And he said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit. He's taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Hold on a minute. What happened here? No, you sold it cheap. Okay? You despised it. You didn't think it was that important. You could have very easily said, no, I was kind of surprised. I thought, well, if Esau is the hunter, you know, he's the mucho macho man, and then we've got the soy boy Jacob. You would think Esau would say something like, look, punk, you're either going to feed me, or when I feel better, I'm going to stomp you in the ground. You'd think something like that would go on, but apparently Jacob was really slick. And who knows what else he had hanging over his head. It's all speculation kind of from there, but maybe that was it. He took away my birthright. No, you surrendered it. And now look, he has taken away my blessing. Well, you're half right. That part's true. He did get that blessing. Esau wasn't interested in being a spiritual leader, being the spiritual head of the family. He married the two Canaanite women, the Hittite women. That was forbidden. That was not going to keep the family line the way God wanted it. And if that wasn't bad enough, he later married another one. He used what they used to call the Nixon principle, in honor of a former president. If two wrongs don't make a right, try three. Didn't seem to work either. And so Esau said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him, Jacob, your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And so we've got the big, tough, mighty hunter. Now he's crying. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." When you get over your anger and hatred, is what the Amplified said. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother." And I couldn't help but think of what's that comic he's got? He always says, "I kill you." He uses all the vowels in the language. "I kill you." And so that he's hatred turning to murder. And that's why Jesus said we shouldn't hate people, because that can turn to murder. So it's equivalent. So the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent, called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you." Well, where have we heard things like this before? Does Cain and Abel come to mind for anybody? One brother killing another? They get so much hate in their heart and say, "Well, what's the best solution? Just to do away with them. That'll solve the problem, right?" It didn't work for Cain. And this hatred in Esau's heart didn't work for him either. And so verse 33 says, "Thou therefore, my son," and this is Rebekah saying again, "obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him." Is that even realistic? He's just going to blow it off after a couple of days. Not likely. Not likely. So that's probably a little bit of wishful thinking there. I don't know. That's just kind of my interpolation there. But then I will send and bring you from there. And that never happened. It's at least 20 years or so. A few days. She said a few days. It was 20. Well, yeah, her favorite son went away. Esau has got these Hittite wives that are driving her berserk. And so there's bitterness and strife in the household. And yeah, and she said, "Now, Jacob can't, you get another wife like this, and my life's not worth living. I'm going to kill myself. You marry one of those women." And so it's horrible. The whole family is shattered. You look at that, none of them came out unscathed. I mean, yeah, Jacob had his wrestling match later. And the good thing is that Jacob and Esau did reconcile. But that's a whole nother chapter, and that's going to be somebody else's job to explain all that to you. But and then Rachel or Rebecca says, "Why should I be reaved also, be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And in a sense, she kind of lost them both that same day. I mean, Jacob never came back. And do you think things would ever be the same between her and Esau? I mean, Esau knew that Rebekah favored Jacob. And then Isaac, well, Jacob's deception of his father Isaac. Well, Jacob was cunning. He got his brother's birthright, but he was sowing very bad seed that would yield a bitter crop in due time. Real law of cause and effect here. You reap what you sow. So that's what makes it important. What do you want to reap? Well, then that's what you should be sowing. If you want to sow love, you can't reap hate. If you want to be thankful, you can't sow envy and lust for what someone else has. And so it's a law of sowing and reaping. There was one commentator had some interesting turn of a phrase here. He said, "Here Jacob deceives his blind father with a slain goat and a special coat." Later, Jacob is deceived by Laban when he is blinded by the darkness of his wedding tent. That's a whole nother story. And by his own sons who counterfeit the death of Jacob's beloved Joseph by using the blood of a slain goat and Joseph's special coat of many colors. And you think Jacob didn't learn the lesson. So he's the favorite of Rebekah and Esau is the favorite of Isaac. And so does Jacob learn the lesson that favoritism among the kids and the family is a bad thing? No, he's got his favorite Joseph. That's us. That's me. I don't get it. I don't learn. You'd think we would learn these things in one easy lesson. Abraham lies, "She's my sister." What did Isaac do? "She's my sister." And we see the same things happening. But the good news is God does not need perfect people to accomplish his goal. He can use even us. And that's an encouragement. Yeah. Well, why could it not be changed? Let's see. I will grab a note and read it real slow and try to sound profound. The patriarch's formal blessing offered before the Lord was equivalent to an inalterable command and prophecy whose outcome was assured. For that reason, it had great importance and tangible value, especially for the firstborn son. When Esau sold his birthright, he did not imagine that as a consequence, he would actually lose the blessing to which he had been originally entitled to as the firstborn. And that was on BibleGateway.com, so it must be right. One of the Gregs have any input on that one? About why Abraham couldn't, Isaac, why Isaac couldn't alter his blessing? Probably, yeah. They draw from him a lot, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and where did Isaac end up? Right, like south of the Dead Sea in a pretty rough part of the country. Not hardly the fat of the land. But I think part of it I thought was, well, they talk about, they consider it a prophecy. And you know what they did to false prophets in the Old Testament? They'd stone them to death. Of course, that's the law that came later. But still, to claim to speak for God and serious thing. Yeah, it's like, what was it, the law of the Persians that can't be altered? That's what got Daniel in the lion's den, right? And Esther, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's kind of, I think, yeah. It's strange, the little things that come into my brain. I think about in baseball, if the umpire calls it a strike, I don't think I've been watching baseball since I was 8 years old, and I don't think I've ever seen an umpire, be convinced. No, you're right. You're right. That was a ball. That okay. No, that's not a strike anymore. It's a ball. You don't see that. Yeah. Right. Well, in football, that's a little different now. I've seen them throw flags, and then they come back and say, oh, "Never mind. Nothing to see here." So. Yeah, we always call it Zapruder films. Yeah, when they do that. Well, can be an effective manipulation technique. They certainly weren't above that. Yeah. And how long was he without Joseph, thinking Joseph was dead? Yeah. Amazing the way God weaves this all together. Well, maybe his senses weren't what they used to be if he was fading. I don't know what kind of shape he was in. I know that he lived 43 years later, but if his eyes were so dim he couldn't see that well, maybe. Yeah, or well, maybe, and maybe Rebecca was just a really good cook, and she could make it so good that he wouldn't know if it was goat or whatever else he might be hunting. I'm not sure what exactly, what do you think he was going out to get? What was the Esau, was he going out for? He probably wasn't going out for a whitetail, but you never know. One moose meat, no. Yeah. More deception. Yeah. They don't think it through. Yeah. And then Esau, he was crying over the whole thing, right? And he regretted what he did, but apparently he didn't have true repentance. And it just reminded me of a couple of scriptures, Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So there come a point, or Proverbs 1:24 through 33, because I have called, you have refused, I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded, you have set it not on my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools will destroy them. But whoever hearkens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. That's another one of those powerful passages. That there comes a point, and then, yeah, the difference between, the metanoia, repentance, a change of heart and mind and action, versus is it the melometomai? I'm not saying it right, but you guys know what I mean. Sorrow for the situation. They say, Judas, but he didn't have true repentance. And so Esau didn't either, and we tell by the way he lived the rest of his life. So a sad story indeed. Other than the reunion that came later, and then Jacob being used by God. don't think we read a whole lot more about Isaac after this or Rebecca, but stay tuned. Who's picking it up next week? Reese. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And God's, yeah, that, yeah, God's purposes cannot be stopped. God is going to get his purpose done, even if we get in the way, even if we try to help him, even if we try to outsmart him. If we try to stop him, if we try to obstruct him, he's still going to get it accomplished. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she did the right thing. She wanted an answer. She went to the Lord. She got an answer. And then later, we see what happened. Well, yeah. But I think it's just that, the up and down nature of our walk with the Lord. There, you see that, and you see this in the Bible characters. There's a great victory, Elijah on Mount Carmel, facing down the 850 prophets, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves. And he, God answers by fire. And then what happened? Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he's out of there. Jonah, repent, repent. They repented. And then he's under the thing, under the tree thing, going, God, take away my life. So I don't know. I think we just need God's help. What do you think? He doesn't need our help. We need his help. We need his help. Well, thank you very much. It's seven. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Well, Lord, there's just so much in this chapter. We just pray you'll help us, Lord, to take to heart the lessons that are in here. Help us to just hear your voice and listen to your voice. Help us, Lord, to avoid deceit, to be honest, to have patience, to wait on your timing and your purposes, God. And we're just grateful that you're in control and we know that your will is going to be done. And just help us to be there with you, Lord, to do what you've called us to do and to join you in what you're doing. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.